Okay, so we're talking about Ashav Shenitak the Raya, which is a famous and complicated and very important topic. So we're just going to sketch out some of the Rashi Prakim, the main issues, and then one very helpful core perspective. We talk about Ashav Shenitak the Raya, so problems we have, major issues here, is first of all, we need to understand what is the Karban Asham. We need to understand what is the Karban Ola. How does this turn into a Karban Ola? And that's a lot. So to start, I think it's helpful to just kind of distill the issue by pointing out that there are two main questions that the Baalei Tosfos have on the straightforward Gemara in a bunch of places. Right? The Drasha of Rav Huna, as we see in Zvachem, the way we see it in Menachos, and elsewhere, is Ashem Shnitak L'Raya V'Shachto Stam Kasher L'Ola. Why do you need this Nituk, whatever exactly Nituk is, which we'll talk about in a second? Because Hu Ashem Hu B'Havayaso Yehei. So since Ashem Hu, it sounds like, this way Rashi explains the Gemara, you need a Nituk because Ashem Hu prevents the carbon from being able to be shechted as an Ola unless you have done nituk. So there are two big problems with that idea, right? So again, the core din, the straight din, as it seems to be presented in a number of places in Shas, is Asham Hu, I require a nituk, mida oraisa, nituk l'raya, being sent out to the shepherd somehow, in order to be able to shach the Asham, which has no future, right? Asham she neskaper bailav, Asham she... Mesu by love. Okay, fine. So Tosos has two problems. One problem is there's a stira. That's what jumps out from our Gemara. Right? Our Gemara, also the Gemara in Shavuos, where it sounds pretty clear that the Nituk is not needed mida oraisa, but that the Nituk is needed mida rabbanan. There's a gzeira. La'acha kapara, kodim kapara, acha kapara atu kodim kapara. Right, because the concern is going to be that you're going to shecht this asham before you've actually gotten kapara from the other carbon. Therefore, to ensure that we don't run into any of those issues, we're going to have you send the asham out to the pastures to get a mum. So it sounds like it's only din derabanan. So how can the, you know, you can blame Rashi, but Rashi's just reading the pashas, the Gemara elsewhere. It sounds like this is a din d'oraisa, classic stira. Right, that's one problem you have with the din, of the understanding of the din, that Nituk L'Raya is Mide Oraisa. The second problem, and Tosus asks us in Menachos, Tosus just asks, Misvara. This is a very difficult idea to understand. Now, there are two reasons why this is difficult. One reason Tosus asks, and one reason Tosus does not ask. Tosus asks the more specific reason why it's a problem, but they don't ask the bigger reason that it's a problem. They ask it's a problem because how can the Nituk, per se, change this carbon from an Asham to an Ola? When we talked about the Psul of Shalol Lishma, we said we have an axiomatic rule, fundamental, right, Klal Barzel, the only time you can, when we talked about whether Lishma changes the carbon, right, is it a posel, is it a change? So, he said, you only can infect and change the destiny of the carbon, Peshas Avoda. It was only Shechita, Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika. We had the opportunity to change the carbon, right? B'shas Hakreva. If someone does a smicha shelo lishma, that doesn't change anything, right? If someone's preparing a mincha and they do the baking shelo lishma, that doesn't change the carbon. It has to only be b'shas Hakreva. So,
how can
I
need to change?
So yeah, you send it to the shepherd, to the field, right? So that's the question that Tosis asks on Rashi. Right, there's a stira in Gemaras, and the svara is very difficult to understand. How can sending it out to the field change the nature of a carbon? This carbon's an asham, right? So we have a stira problem, we have a nituk problem. The truth is, though, there's an even bigger problem, and this gets to the real lundish core of the sugya. Why this is such a massively important sugya in the world of kachim. Which is, set aside the din of nituk per se. How does the asham change to an ola b'chlal? When have we ever seen such a thing? So we have a Helchasa Gemirila, that if the Chata Shemesha, the Asham is Roeh, and we have, you know, kind of an invisible addendum here, maybe it's from the Halacha itself, that it could be brought as an Ola, because the leftover money is brought as an Ola. That's still a big jump, so we'll talk about it in a second, the difference between leftover money going to an Ola and the Karban itself. But how can the Asham, through any mechanism, turn into an Ola? It's interesting that that doesn't seem to bother the Baalei Tosfos very much. So let's just go through these issues one by one. We're going to talk about the Stira, we'll talk about the Nituk, and then we'll talk about the general transition from Asham to Ola. So when it comes to the Stira, so one way to respond is just, it's a Stira. You see the Ramban in Shavuos, and the Ramban says, this is one of the Sugyos HaMeschalfos B'Shas. It sounds like there's a pretty clear contradiction. If Nituk is the Raisa de Rabban, and the Ramban says, yeah, it is. It's just, it's a Stira. I think the Rasha says the same thing. I think the Ran quotes the Ramban as saying the same thing. And that's one. It's a Stira. Okay. It's Machlokas in Shas. The Gemara in Shavuos, the Gemara in Psachim holds that Nituk is Mita Rabbanan. It's a Gzeira. The Gemara in Temura, the Gemara in Zvachim, the Gemara in a couple places, the Gemara in Menachos, all says that Nituk is a Din Daraisa. That happens. Okay. Move on. It's a Machlokas HaSugyos. I think the way we suggested when we were going through the Gemara and Seder, that Rashi seems to understand the Gemara, it's not just an arbitrary question of machlokas asugyas, about nituk per se. It seems to be that Rashi's picking up on a question of whether the asham requires akira or not. Actually, the machlokas we have here is just, we have different Gemaras about whether, right, it's two live options, it comes up in our Gemara, whether asham shnitzik l'raya requires Akira or lo boy Akira. If you say that Asher Shnitzik boy Akira, so Rashi is very clear. In those Daraisa Sugyas, Rashi says, you have two tracks to achieve Akira. Either you have Akira through Nituk, or you have Akira through Shachting the Karban, right, L'shem Ol. And the point is, you need to do something to change the destiny of this carbon, and that can be done either through Nituk or through Akim. Rashi Menachos is very clear that's the case. What does our Gemara hold? What does the Gemara Psachim hold? Lo Boy Akira. Scare me a second. Lo Boy Akira. So since all Nituk is doing is accomplishing Akira, you have two tracks to change the carbon, the classic track, the track we know and love of Shelo Lishma, and a new track for Asham of Nituk. That's our second question. We'll deal with it in a second. But if you need an Akira that happens through Akira through Nituk, Mida Oraisa, right? That's the name of Asham. Who? It requires an Akira. We have ways to get that, to get that Akira. But it stays an Asham even after it has no destiny as an Asham. The Bailam got Kapara with another one, the Bailam died. This has no Asham future. Even though it has no Asham future, you need to do either Nituk or Akira to get it to be an Ola. And Argamar thinks that Asham Shingle Raya Lobay Akira, everything is already, the transition has happened naturally. Therefore, just like you don't need the Akira, of course, there's no De'oraisa need for the Nituk. The Nituk is only required Mishum Gzeira, because you want to make sure that you're not shechting it too early. Our Gemara holds Lo by Akira, right?
So then the
Nituk is Darabanan, because what do I need to change anything for? Okay?
Yeah.
So that's, agreeing with the Ramban that there is a machlokas in Shas, but it's not a machlokas about Nituk, we have to understand, it's really a machlokas about Akira. Then, the third way of being Miyashiv, the Gemara's, is Rabbeinu Tam. We're not getting into all technical details of how Rabbeinu Tam does it, but Rabbeinu Tam thinks very, very strongly that nobody ever thought that Nituk L'Raya was Mida Araisa. Nituk L'Raya was always Mida Rabbanan. Right? Now, how do you pull that off? I mean, the Gemara said, who? Right? What are you doing at the Asham who? Who have Ayasan Yehei? So he has to change the Girsa in a couple of the Gemaras, because it sounds like the Gemara was bringing Asham Hu as a need to require Nituk. So Rabbeinu Tam has some Girsas which do not read exactly that way. The way Rabbi Natam understands understands the Girsa, though, is a big, big Chiddush, at least the way it is in our Tosas. What does it mean, Asham Huba Yasu Yehei? Not like who always means, this is what it is. What is Asham Hu? Who, what it is going to be. Right? Torah is telling you that this is what it's going to be. This Asham is now an Ola. So that's pretty wild, right? Like,
since what, the end result.
The end result, exactly. This Asham is its end result. Now the Re has there's another way of reading who in the world that it's all Midrabanan, which is no. Asham who what originally was. Who always means what it originally was. But the drasha is only kodem kapara. Now let's digest that for a second. Before I got kapara, why do I need a pasuk? Of course it's an asham. Why on earth do I need a pasuk? So there are two possible answers. If you look at the Tosos in Menachos, Tosos Menachos is a little bit more elaborate, and Tosos Menachos says, no, it's not that you would have thought that you could just take an asham off the street and bring it as an ola. And then asham who tells you that your asham off the street has to stay as an asham. It's specifically a case where you lost your asham, you found a new one, I have two ashamos in front of me. I would have had a havamina that when I have two ashamos for one carbon, in that case, I could already shecht one asham as an ola. And that is the case where the Torah says, no, asham hu bavayasin yehei, these both stay as ashamos, and you have to wait until you get kapara from one of them. Right? That's the way the Re says it in Menachos. However, Pashtos, in Tosas here, is that, yeah, this is an amazing Havamina. Havamina is that any Asham could have been shechted as an Ola. Why on earth should that be? So, right, if we go back to our three original questions about Asham Shnitzik L'Raya, so one question we had was about the Stira. One question we had was, how does the Nitzik work? Now, the third question is this whole Din Bachlal of Ashamos changing to Olas. So, this answer of the Re, in being the Ashi of the Stira, has gone all in on the question of what is this Asham to Ola transition that I maybe would have had a Havamina, according to the Pashas and Artosos, I would have had a Havamina that you could take an Asham off the street and bring it as an Ola, and I need Asham who by the Yasin Yehei? Oh, don't do that. It stays as an Asham. It can't change until the Bailam get Kapara from another one. That's a shocking idea. Right, but that's how the Tosas are being miyashev the Stira. Right, we're so all in, and we take just one step back. What is the Shitas HaTosos? Loba Yakira, you for sure don't need Akira. Right, the Din Nituk is Midrabana, and it's all practical and pragmatic. You look in the Sefer HaYashar because Tosas has to explain. Well, if we need why do we need a Nituk? It sounds like from our Gemara. We're going to have you do Akira, and we're going to have you do Nituk. And so Rabbeinu Tam sets up, it's like a multi-leveled Gzeira, because we're afraid that if you just did a Nituk, it would be a Chuchav et Lula, because like, what does it mean? You're going to send it to the field for like 1 second, and then bring it back and shecht it. So, we really want it to get a mum, and also we're going to, double down and lechachila, you should do an Akira, and if you didn't do Nituk, it's going to be Pasal Midrabana, and if you did a Nituk, you didn't do an Akira, it'll be Kasher b'di'eved, but it's all Midrabanan. On a Daraisa level, the Asham is an Ola. Right? That is the consistent world of the Bali Tosas. So those are the three answers to how to deal with the Stira. What about the issue of Nituk? How can Rashi say that Nituk is so serious? So Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal points out in his Shiurim that if you piece together a couple of Rashi's, you at least get the sense that Rashi is investing more in this Nituk than Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam sounds like Nituk is just, you let it out in the field. You just, you stop doing shmira. It is a passive process. It's a passive process. You have, right, as the whole time, I've been guarding this carbon very carefully because I want to make sure it doesn't get a mum. Rabbeinu Tam's understanding of nituk is you just stop the shmira. Right? So I don't actually do anything befo'al. I just take a break. You know, go have a beer. Now that's... I mean, I don't know if it's a... Is there a chiyuv to prevent a karma getting a mum? I don't know if there's a chiyuv to prevent a karma getting a mum. It's a good question. There's not one that I can think of. I mean, if you, yeah, at minimum, if you're at all interested in this carbon being brought, Lamaisa, you are going to be guarding it. So Nituk is just not going to guard it. Is there a chalos to that shmira? I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure. The more there's a chalos to that shmira, the more we can understand to be in a time saying there's a chalos to not doing that shmira. Right. I'm not sure. Truth is, if there's no chalos to that shmira, then the nituk is even less. Right? So that'll really explain why Rabbeinu Tam thinks that this is totally off the wall. If there's no chalos, there's no point. If there's no chalos to the shmira, so the halacha doesn't recognize the shmira I'm doing, so what, we're going to recognize the non-shmira that I'm doing? It's very, very strange. But you see Rashi in a few places, he says, there are two pieces about this nituk. First of all, the nituk, he says, is mesira l'roa. You're actually giving it to the shepherd. There has to be a handing over. It sounds like an active process. I give it to the guy and I say, take this to the pasture and let it get a mum. Right? You're sending it away. You know, it's good for Parshas Metzorah. You're banishing this animal. It used to be, you know, like the apple of your eye, you were caring for it night and day, and now it's being banished out to the hinterlands. So that's piece number one. It's go! You know, you were going to be the precious carbon, and now it's being actively dismissed. So that's just one piece that Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are arguing about, which again is all to make it easier for Rashi to explain the nituk. The second piece he points out is that I think Rashi in Zvachim mentions that we need the gizbor or the bezdin. We need the bezdin. The bezdin tells him let it get a mum. He has to bring the carbon to bezdin. Bezdin tells him, you don't just do this on your own. You know, for 7 years I've been, you know, treating my knee by myself, and finally today I went to the doctor to get it looked at. So, you know, at some point you don't just tell yourself whether the animal's a mum or not. You got to go to the bezdin. Bezdin gives a psak. This is an asham. Not mum. The skaper by love ba'acher. Right? There's no future for this animal. It sounds like a pretty obvious question. I don't know why I need to go to the bezdin. Why to the bezdin? Obviously, he brought the other one. What's the shayla b'chlal? Okay, so the shayla is, we need the gespanka of bezdin. The bezdin has to give their psak to clear. This is now an asham shenitak l'raya. It has a psak bezdin asham shenitak l'raya. You're going to have an act of mesir l'roa. So those are two pieces to strengthen the nituk. Right? For Rabbeinu Tam, it's not there. So that's something we need to appreciate. It's still a big chiddush that you could have something besides Akira b'shas Hakrava doing something, right? But that is piece number two. We'll come back to this in a couple minutes when we talk about the whole nature of the Karban Asham. How, if we understand the Karban Asham a little differently, we can understand why Nituk per se might be a big deal. So now, right, let's get on to issue number three. Just how does this carbon transition from an asham that we know and love to be an ola? So first we need to be aware that it's not so clear, bechlal, how much of a transition is happening over here. Right? The more that it, you kind of get to the same point either way, because what we're really asking is what's the relationship between the carbon ola and the carbon asham? Right, there seems to be some relationship here. And so we're trying to probe that relationship by seeing what exactly is this carbon. You know, is this like a hybrid? Does it totally transform? And what does that tell us about both carbonos? So before getting into this, we just need to be a little bit careful. Rav Lechazin points this out as well. So before we go on making super confident tainas about the nature of the carbon ashram, the nature of the carbon ola, we have a couple Gemaras which do not only talking about and Asham being brought as a Ola, but a Chatas being brought as an Ola. If you have the Mosros, right? Mosar Chatas is brought as an Ola.
What the extra money?
Extra money, right? Goes to Ola. There's one other case that I'm not remembering right now where the money of the Chatas will go to an Ola. I think there are two cases. I'm not remembering one of them right now. Do you remember what it is? Lachrayas, thank you. Lachrayas. Machdash Lachrayas. Very good. Shnei Chataos Lachrayas. Shnei Chataos Lachrayas. Right? So, exactly. You want to have your, thank you very much. Nutzer was, you want to have your fallback plan. So, Nabar Hashem, you succeeded. The first Chatas was brought as a Chatas. So, what happens to the second Chatas? What happens to the backup? So, it's not one of the Chataos HaMesos. Right? It's going to get a mum. Mamish, like our case, it's going to get a mum. Right? And now, you're going to Yavidamav Le'Ola. So we see there's a relationship between the Ola and the Chatas. So there are two main possibilities here. One option is to say, Inachanami, we really see that Asham and Chatas are basically the same. They have the same relationship to Ola, as he points out in the Shirin. Why, how can they turn into Ola? A Chatas, we'll see Asham, there's good reason to think it has a lot in common with Ola. A Chatas has nothing in common with Ola. Right? I mean, the Ola, right, the Gemara in Zachim says one is the praklit and one is the doron, right? One is the quintessential machaper, and one is just a gift. One is just a matana. One is a chova. One is a nedava. They have nothing to do with each other, whatsoever. So how can an achatas, you know, your makdish, this animal is supposed to be achatas? How is the dam coming as an ola? So the answer is going to be the ola is the default generic carbon. The answer is really all carbonos have some DNA of the carbon ola in them. What? Shahakol, very good, right? The Ola is the Ola is the Shahakol of all Karbanos. All Karbanos, all Zvachim, right? At the end of the day, what is an Ola? The Ola is the foundation for every animal carbon. What's the Ola about? It's Kulo Kalil. Yeah. It's just a you bring it to Hashem. What are Ashamos and Shlamims and Chataos? They're specialized carbonos. You know, you have to be thankful, you bring a carbon toda. You have a feeling of shlamim, you bring a shlamim. You have an aveira, you bring a chatas or an asham. But those are all specialized carbonos.
Is Moser Mincha brought as an ola?
I assume it's brought as a mincha.
Mincha.
I assume so.
But it's not cool ola.
What?
It's not cool ola. It
doesn't get completely burnt. Okay, so it's not the same. It's not the same. You're right. But why do you bring an ola? There's no specific reason to bring an ola. An ola is just a carbon, right? It's as far back as human history. You've had olas, right? Cain is bringing an ola. Noach is bringing an ola. Ola is the classic default carbon.
You are now
carbon.
severely downplaying the potential kapara of an ola. But that's fine.
Yes. Okay.
Just for the record, let the record show.
Not necessarily, because you. Let that stand. Okay, so that's just one. And he points out, if you look at the think about the pesukim beginning of Vayikra. Very, very strange. You know, we have Ola, Mincha, and then we have Shlamim, Chatas, and Asham. Why is Mincha smack there? It's not the way it is in Parshas Tzav. Parshas Tzav, we have all the zvachim of Kachek Adashim, then we have the mincha, and then we have and then mincha is after all the Kachek Adashim. Why ola mincha? He suggests because the ola is there. You have the category. First, let's introduce the category of zvachim with the basic carbon, and the category of menachos, and then the specialized carbonos. So that
how is
shlomim
the specialized carbon?
You have a special feeling of hashlama. Special feelings of peace.
What are specialized commodities?
They're brought for particular reasons.
Uh-huh.
A person feels some.
You feel like you want to get a revelation. Just one you want to also partake of. I'm not sure exactly what the difference is between shlomim and olas. They're both. You just bring when you want to volunteer to bring a pearl.
So this might be, I think there's more to say about that, which is that there is a Gemara about Akum that Akum can only bring.
Yes. Torah last year. Libo l'shamayim. I'm not sure how much of that is made on the genericness of Ola and how much that is made on he doesn't understand what Shlomo is all about. But I think it's the same point.
On that point, that
there's a specific religious mindset about the person who's bringing a Shlomo.
And that there's something universal about Ola.
Yeah.
That Ola reflects a total commitment. That's the basic yesod of a carbon. It's a chiddush to say that I can eat from a carbon. If a carbon is about being makriv, offering something to Hashem, so the default is you give it. If I come to your house and eat a Shabbos meal at your house and I bring you a bottle of wine and I open the wine and pour half for you and half for me, that's like...
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You do accept expenses to serve it at that meal.
Okay, so let's go on just because we're 11 minutes.
Yasham
what?
Is certainly specialist.
What did the Asham?
Only comes six
cases. Oh, yeah, only six Hamas. Ashamas, let's talk about it in 1 second. Now, you could say this, right? But at the same time, we also need to realize there are two major differences between the case of the Chatas, where the dam is being brought as an Ola, and the Asham. What are the two differences? First of all, when it comes to the Chatas, we're only dealing with it's Damav. Now that could be technical because the chatas cannot be brought as an ola because the chatas is a girl and the ola is a boy, so that could be a technical difference. But still, we're not talking about the animal itself. And second of all, it's only ever cases where the chatas never really had a full shem chatas, moser chatas, hifresh lachrayas. It's never a case where this was mamish supposed to be the chatas, and it turns into the ola. Right, it never really was a chatas fully, A, and it itself is not becoming an ola, it's only the damim that's becoming an ola. So even granted these couple of cases for chatas, which does seem to show, you know, the generic element of the carbon ola, which is totally there, there still is a lot more room to say that there is a special relationship between the carbon asham and the carbon ola. If you look in some of the Rishonim, so you see fascinating ideas about when and whether or not there is shinui kodesh when you shecht the asham shenitak liraya. The shidduk betzes, not in Tamura, but the one in Menachos. I didn't put this on because I didn't see this until I saw it quoted from the Minchas Avram on the airplane yesterday. Now this I saw on the airplane on the way back. So I was exhausted and it was dark. So I cannot say that this is for sure what was happening. I think it was the Shidduk Betzes explaining Rabbeinu Gershom thought that Asham Shenitak L'Raya before Akira, if you shecht it before Akira, say it needs Akira, will have Shinoi Kodesh, both if you shecht it as an Asham and if you shecht it as an Ola. So, as an Asham or if you shecht it as an Ola. So he thinks that the Asham Shenitak L'Raya, it's kind of lost. It's like a nothing. It's fallen between the cracks, right? If you say it like that, then you think there's a real transition happening. It's losing one shame karban. It's gaining another shame karban, and now there's a period of transition where it's in the middle, right? Where fascinatingly, you're gonna have shina kodesh in both ways because you're shachting this as an ola. Well, it's not an ola. You're shachting this as an asham. Well, it's not an asham. Shiga betzes in Temura had the opposite possibility, which was that you're not going to have Shinoi Kodesh, even if you shecht it as an Asham, even after Nitak L'Raya. I did Nitak L'Raya. It has to be an Ola. I'm shechting it as an Asham. How is there no Shinoi Kodesh? So the Shidduk Betzes kept coming back to this possibility. Well, it still has DNA of an Asham in it. This is an Ola, but it still has Asham DNA. What does that mean? How does it have Asham DNA if it's still an Ola? If that's true, right? And this would be very nice for Tosas Lashitasam, who seems very comfortable with the Asham totally, easily transitioning into an Ola. There's no Nituk Mita Oraisa, Nituk's only to Rabbanan, you don't need Akira. It just goes very smoothly from Asham to Ola, and it still even has Shem Asham in it, right? Nafgamina for when you shecht the carbon. L'shem Asham. You may not have Shinoi Kodesh. The third kind of just wild possibility that's out there about in the Dinim of Shinoi Kodesh, if you make your way through the end of the Shidduk Betzes in Os Vav, the Shita asks, what if you shecht the Karban Stam? Asham Shidduk L'Raya. So I shechted it Stam. So So we know that after Nitak L'Raya, Shachtos Stam is Ola, right? But what happens if I Shachtet Stam before I did the Nitak? So Tosos says... So Tosos says, Limaskana Tosos says this. They had a Havmina the other way. By Lo Bayakira, they had a Havmina. They say Limaskana. If you hold Bayakira, then when you Shachtet Stam, you will violate Shinoi Kodesh. How on earth is that going to happen? This carbon needs to be an Asha. Right now, this carbon needs to be an Ola. It needs to be an Ola. But right now, its Stam is an Asha. And Tosas has this wild idea, which is really more of a Stam L'Shma issue. We should just realize it. That if you Shachtet Stam, well, so I am Shachting it as an asham, but it needs to be an ola. So I'm going to violate Shina Kodesh. It's a wild possibility. We just have to put out that's out there, right? So all these different deos that in the Shigubetzes and Menachos and in Tzimur are all revolving around this question: how much of a gap is there between the shame asham and the shame ola, or how much? Is there really no gap at all? It's a very natural transition, and maybe even the maskana, the shame asham is there, right? We're saying one extreme is that it's losing its shame asham even before the akira. Shin Gebetzes in Menachos is saying you're going to have Shina Kodesh if you shacht it before akira. Shin Gebetzes in Temura is saying you're going to have Shina Kodesh if you shacht it stam before akira, because this is very, very, very quickly losing its Shem Hashem and going to Shem Ola. Or, the other day in Tishrei says, no, it's not losing its Shem Hashem at all. Shem Hashem and Shem Ola go very nicely together. But the point that I want to just really hammer home is that both of these deos agree with the same thing. There's clearly an Hashem-Ola relationship. Either it very easily goes... So it either goes so easily from Ola to Hashem. Rosa call these parallel opposites. They're saying opposite things, but they're really saying the same thing. One day is saying it so easily changes from Asham to Ola that you're going to have Shinoi Kodesh problems even before Akira. And the other one is saying that Asham and Ola can live Bisimcha, and even after Akira, there's still not going to be Shinoi Kodesh because the Shem Asham is still there. So, but both these deos, they have different opinions as to whether Shinoi Kodesh or not, but they are agreeing on the fundamental point, which is that the Ola and the Asham are very closely related. Therefore, one of two extremes. Either it transitions super, super, super easily, or... Exactly. Or it never transitions at all, because they're always saying the same thing. Exactly. Now, 4 minutes left. What is this relationship between the carbon asham and the carbon ola? So, two main things to say. One, Rosenzweig talked about when he gave the chaburus to us in the July Zman, many years ago, and one other possibility. Rosenzweig points out that we talked about the kapara of the carbon ola. Kapara of the carbon ola, bekitzer nimratz, is a very, very complicated kapara. Torah says v'nirtza lo lechaper in the nifal. It's unclear what exactly it's mechaper for. It seems like it can be mechaper for many different things at once. Parak aleph pasuk dalid. Torah says v'nirtza lo lechaper aleph. It doesn't say v'chiper. There's no active kapara. And the for an ola, exactly. So it's mechaper for many averos at once. It's mechaper for averos that are after you were mafresh the carbon, maybe even after you shechted the carbon. So the idea for the carbon ola is that it's not coming to erase a specific sin. It is rather coming for what we call kaparas hagavra. The person is in place, spiritually he's on the 20-yard line, and he wants to get into the end zone. So he's trying to advance himself spiritually. Mamela, he's going to get kapara for all sorts of different things. So he calls kaparas hagavra. What about the carbon asham? Isn't the carbon asham just wiping away a specific avera? Well, yes and no. The Ramban in the one I put on the sheet, I think the Rav apparently was a very, very, very big fan of this Ramban, asks, why do we have two sin offerings? Why do we have a carbon chatas and a carbon asham? What is the difference between chait and ashama? So the Ramban explains that ashama refers to shomema, right? It refers to destruction. Chatas focuses on the chait. You have a sin, and you want to erase it. So you bring karma chatas to erase the chait. But the ashram isn't brought to...
Destruction in what way?
The asham isn't brought to erase the sin. The asham is brought to protect the person from destruction. He has done a very severe avera, right, which the Ramban has to work on, and then asham talui is a bit of a problem for this. But the person's done a very severe avera, and he brings the carbon asham to protect himself.
What
does he do? Like what? Me'ilah. Gzela and Shvuas and the Shvua. What?
Those averas are worse than the.
Well, the Gzela with the Shvua is bemazed.
But it could be that it's not a question of better or worse. There are two different factors.
Me'ila is a fair question. Shivcha Harufa is mazed. Gzela is mazed. Okay, this is just the basic mahalach which is set out. And so, the way to think about this is that both the Asham and the Ola are both focused on Kaparas HaGavra. Just the way to think of it is, the Asham, the guy, is in a normal state, and he wants to get in a closer state. The Asham, the guy, is in a bad state, and he needs to get in a good state. But fundamentally, you can think of the Ola and the Asham as doing the same thing, just the guy's at a different line of scrimmage. Right? So, that's...
So,
get some closer to Hashem. That's all. Okay, the other way to think about this, if you look, I saw now, I was reading this yesterday, Yoni Grossman has a whole article on Karban Hashem, and he's machaving to everything that Rabbi Eitan Meir wrote in a Kol Tzvi article. The Karban Hashem, there's a huge focus on the Chafta of the Karban Hashem. Just to give a couple of very quick examples about this, number one, what?
Yeah.
The money, right? It's a big deal. It has to specifically be 2 shekels. It's a huge deal.
For Hashem.
Torah specifies the amount of money it has to be for the Karban Hashem. Second of all, if you look in the Psukim, the Hakrava of the Asham is downplayed. The Hakrava of the Asham we don't find in Parshas Vayikra, we only find it in Parshas Tzav. All the other Karbanos, the Talach Adam, is in Parshas Vayikra. Karban Asham, it's not there. It sounds like the Iker of the Asham is giving this thing, bringing this thing. You stole, right? You stole from the Ila, let's take that as an example. You stole Gzela. You kind of repay by bringing the Chafta Shel Asham. And the last one, the Nitziv and Meshech Chachma are both Medayik, that it sounds from the Psukim like the Kohanim do the Shechita of the Asham. The Chachila, the Meshech Chachma and the Nitziv are both Medayik, as Torah says, V'yishchitu Oso. It sounds like the Iker of the Bailim is just to bring the Karban and not the Hakrava. He needs to buy an animal, right, and then bring, we care most about the Chefza, the physical object that he's going to bring, the money he is going to spend. The Bailin. Yoni Grossman takes one step further. He thinks that the idea is he needs to pay back for what he took from the Mikdash. It's just a great example of highlighting this is the Ashram Talui. Why does he have to bring an Ashram Talui? Everyone gets in trouble with Ashram Talui. The answer is, he may be stealing from Hektash. He should bring a Chattas. Exactly. He has to bring the Ashram to pay back the Mikdash, because he may bring a chattas. The nazir, he has to pay back because he was machal his seyer. The gzela, that's gzela, but it's also using Hashem's name to steal. And me'ila, obviously. So if we think about this as just a chafza, which is supposed to be brought, that helps us understand that the asham and the ola are both what? Are both adorum. The focus really is on not the dam, right? And they have the same hakrava. The chattas, you do... The Nesinas Dam for the Chatzis is one thing. On all four corners of the Mizbeach, the Ola and the Asham is both Zrika on the two corners, right? So when I think about this, is the Asham and the Ola are really both accomplishing the same thing. Just one is as a Daron, and the other one is Mitam Chat. Okay, Shkach. Just adding a little postscript here because I realized in the excitement in the very end, as we were very pressed for time, I forgot one point I wanted to come back to that I referenced earlier in the Chabura. And that's this: the following suggestion, right? One big question we had, the second question was, how exactly can it be that the Nituk L'Raya is going to change the destiny of the Karban Hashem? Right? We said that you only ever find really in Kadshim that you have an opportunity B'Shas HaKreva to change the destiny or the identity of a carbon. Shalol l'shma, b'shas shchita, b'shas kabbalah, zrika, etc. What is it about nituk to this live animal that you can somehow change the destiny of the carbon? So we discussed Rav Lichtenstein's point about Rashi, that Rashi seems to strengthen the procedure of nituk, but it still does leave us wondering, at the end of the day, the question Tosas have, how exactly does this do anything? So I think one possible suggestion to add over here, if we take the Ha'ara that I quoted before from the piece from Rabbi Eitan Meir and the piece from Yonah Grossman, we focus on the not the hakrava of the Karban Hashem, but that really the focus of the Karban Hashem is the Nesina, the actual giving of the Chafza, and that's as exhibited in the Psukim and the question of Shechita and the Shnei Slaim and other proofs that didn't have a chance to get to. If the real focus of the Karban Hashem is giving the Karban, much more there, or you know, as much at least as the actual bringing of the Karban, the Shechita and the Zrika of the Chulei, so maybe we can understand that uniquely among all the Karbanos, the Hashem would be the Karban, that once you've made the decision to not bring this Karban, it is it's nitak l'raya, you've sent it out to the pasture, so that decision to stop the bringing of the Karban Hashem, because it's not, there has to be an underlying reason for that, obviously, that's the whole point of the Chosa Gemirila, maybe that's why exactly the Hashem would be the Karban which really can lose its Shem Hashem, or at least evolve from its Shem Hashem to a Shem Ola, specifically once it reaches the point where its real Kiyum, which is the Nesina, is not going to happen.